2 Samuel 9, this is probably a favorite of many of yours. One of the favorites of all of us, isn't it? Been a long time since we've looked at this together. Long time. Go with me, first of all, 1 Samuel 18. We'll go back here and look at David and Jonathan. David and Saul and Jonathan represent someone else in the story. David was God's chosen king, and Saul was on the throne at that time, and Saul hated David and sought to kill him. He was his enemy. And Jonathan was Saul's son, and yet he loved David, and David loved Jonathan. And these three are a picture of our God. David is God. Saul is Adam, who died, didn't he? Rebelled against God. He was a little king, but he rebelled against God. And Jonathan is Christ, who calls himself the Son of Man. Son of Man. Not Adam, but the Son of Man. And Jonathan, as you know, died in battle defending Israel. And David honored, extolled Jonathan, and remembered a covenant that he made with Jonathan. Okay? I just told you the whole story. But 1 Samuel 18 is the story of David and Jonathan. In verse 1, it came to pass, David made an end of speaking unto Saul. The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Down in verse 3, Jonathan and David made a covenant. They made a covenant together, and he loved him as his own soul. Who did? You know, both of them loved each other so much. Jonathan loved David more than he loved himself, and David loved Jonathan. He even said it's more than the love of a man and his wife. And this is a picture of God the Father and God the Son, their love for one another. God loved his son. Martyr used to say God loved his son so much that he made a whole world, and he made a whole world full of people for his honor and his glory, and predetermined every one of them to be just like his beloved son whom he loved so much. And the son loved the father. And they made a covenant. The father and the son made a covenant long before the world ever existed. All right? And this is called the covenant of salvation, the covenant of grace, in which God the Father would make a world, make a people. They would be fallen like Adam, like Saul, enemies of God, like Saul, but God, like David, merciful, kind, gracious, love, would save some of these fallen ones, some of these sons of Adam, would save them by his mercy, by his electing grace, by his son coming down here to earth and dying in their stead, being their substitute, being their sin offering, being their burnt sacrifice, paying for their sins against God. There are two covenant heads, Adam and Christ, right? God, the first covenant was a covenant of works. God said to Adam, do this and live. Or don't sin, you won't die. Do what I say and live. Rebel against me, die. What happened? We were all in Adam, weren't we? He's our father, all of us. What happened? Adam sinned. In Adam, all die. And every one of them are born enemies of God. God's not the enemy. God's not the enemy. You understand me? Man's the enemy of God. Right. But God, rich in mercy, in this covenant long before, had another. This was all. He knew all this was going to happen because he purposed it.
And this was all purposed and ordered in Christ before the world began. And God gave an elect people, as the stars of the sky, as the sands of the sea, a people He set His love upon, a people He purposed to have mercy and grace upon to save them from their sin. And He sent their covenant head, Jesus Christ, a son of man, but without the seed of man. A sinless man. The woman's seed. Without sin. To be their covenant head. And it says, the Lord in Psalm 42 says, the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. Displeased with Adam. In Adam all died, but in Christ all made alive. And I just told you the gospel. And God said, all that are in my son, all that my son came to live for and die for, I will spare them. I will have mercy upon them. I love them freely. They're my children. I will adopt them. I will give them new birth in time by this gospel coming. And they will be with me forever. They are my children. I love them. I purpose to save them for Christ's sake. Because of my son, he's going to do it all for them. They don't have anything to do with it. Okay. Okay. So David and Jonathan loved each other like the father and the son loved each other before the world began. And they made this covenant together. And here's what Jonathan said to David. Promise me you'll show kindness to my seed, to my house. Promise me you love me. I love you. We love each other. We're as one. Promise me that when I die, this is what Jonathan said today. When I die, you'll show kindness to my house, my seed that come from my bowels for my sake, for the love you have for me and I have for you. And David said, I'll do it. And he kept confirming this with him. That Jonathan kept saying, promise me, David said, you have my word on it. David was a man of his word, wasn't he? And our God cannot lie, will not lie. God who's promised us salvation. Any son, he that hath the son, hath life. He that believeth on the son, hath life. God can't lie. God will save. He's already has purposed it. He is, and He shall save for Christ's sake. Can we say that too much? Do you see why we preach Christ? Okay. So this love Jonathan and David had for each other is a beautiful type and picture of the Father's love for Christ and the covenant they made with each other. All right, go to 2 Samuel 9. Go to 2 Samuel 9. Go to our text. Okay? This covenant represents the eternal covenant of God's grace and Father and the Son they made together before the world began. And God purposed to save every single person that Christ came and lived and died for Christ's sake. All right, now David is on the throne. David is now on the throne in Israel. He's reigning. The house of Saul is his enemy. Right? You remember, Saul wanted to kill David. And everybody's with David. And that's a picture of mankind. It's just so, people. It's just so. Romans 8 said, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enemy of God. David was nobody's enemy. Like Joshua, he was nobody's enemy. But everybody else was his enemy. You see, God's got to, and we are by nature, we're born like that. You know what? This lame man here, he's Saul's grandson. He was born a son of Saul at enmity against David. And if David hadn't done something for him, he'd have died. David had killed him. Because he's just like his brothers. We're going to see in a little bit that David brought seven of his brothers and killed them all. You hear me? That's the God of the Bible. But David's a merciful man. David's a kind man. David's a gracious man. David's a loving man. Fault didn't lie in David. It laid in those that were his enemies. All right? All right, David is on the throne. He's reigning and ruling. The house of Saul is his enemy. And most of them has been destroyed by this time. Not all of them, some of them. And David is thinking about his beloved friend named Jonathan, whom he loved. And look at verse 1. David said, "Is there yet any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" David is thinking about his beloved Jonathan and the love they have for each other and that covenant that they made together. And he said, "Is there any left of the house of Saul? I have purposed, I have determined, I am going to show kindness." That word is mercy. David purposed in himself to show kindness to someone in the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And what does the scripture say? Romans 9. Like 2 Samuel 9. Romans 9, he said to Moses, "I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So then, it is not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but what?" Right. How many people in religion can quote that? How many would? How many love that? We love that, don't we? As said, if David hadn't purposed to show kindness and mercy to this man, he's going to die at the hands of David. But David said, "I'm going to show kindness. I am kind. I am merciful. I can do this. That's who I am. I'll do it to whom I will." He didn't send out and ask anybody who wanted to get mercy. No, no. None of the house of Saul would have applied it. None of the house of Saul would have said, "I need mercy." No, 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 no. Nor would we have. Our Lord said in Isaiah, he said, "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not." David said, "When you said seek me, that's when I started seeking you." So David purposed to show kindness. And one of the servants named Ziba, David said, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "Yes, I am." Verse 3, the king said, "Is there any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him?" Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan. Jonathan hath the son." What do you think David did? "Jonathan has a son? Yes, but he's lame on his feet." You don't need him. No, but he needs David. Jonathan has a son. He's lame on his feet. How did this happen? Back in chapter 4, when tidings came of Saul and Jonathan being killed, and David is now the rightful king, people were fleeing. Okay, and the nurse for this young boy, he was Joshua's age, 5 years old. Joshua Montgomery. 5 years old, his nurse took him up to flee. Melanie, you brought this up. She should have fled to David, shouldn't she? She should have taken that child and fled to David. Not run from the king, run to him. They're the enemy. But she fled with this boy thinking she's going to be killed too. No, he's merciful. You need to flee to him. Don't run from him. Run to him. Even though you're an enemy. Well, in the process of this running, the boy fell. I don't know if he's on a horse or a mule or whatever, but he fell, okay? 5-year-old boy. Apparently broke his back, crushed his hips or whatever. So he was lame on both feet, it says. He became lame as a child. From a child, and now in this story he's an adult, he can't walk. He cannot walk. He never has. He cannot walk. He's lame, okay? And that's what happened to us. In Adam, all died. We fell in Adam. We were lame by the fall. Adam ran, hid from God, didn't he? And all of us are born dead in trespass and sin, dead through a fall. We're born lame. We can't walk by faith. We're born blind. We're born deaf. We're born enemies of God, haters of God, won't come to God. This man couldn't come to God if he wanted to. David. He couldn't have come to David if he wanted to. If you'd ask him, won't you come? Take the first step. He can't take the first step. He cannot come. And I just believe him being a grandson of Saul, I don't think he's willing to come. If he's like the rest of Saul's sons, he thinks, I ought to be on that throne. Right? And every person in this room, before you heard the truth, you thought you were somebody. You had full of pride. And if you were in religion, you actually thought that God needed you, or you accepted him, or you were being that you ought to be rewarded for your thought free will, didn't you? Anybody admit it? The only reason that this lame fella came to David is David fetched him. Look at it. It says in verse 5, the king David sent and fetched him. What's that mean? I love these old, it's not a country say, it's Bible, you say. Fetch me that, fetch me that. That's just good Bible. It means go get it and bring it to me. It means lay hold of it. Don't ask it. It means pick it up, grab hold of it, hold it tight, and bring it to me. When you fetch something, you don't holler at, hey, look, please. I want to, but I can't if you just go. It means you go where it is and you pick it up and you take it, right? How plain could the truth be? Our Lord said, Christ said, all that the Father giveth to me will come to me. Why? Well, he said before, they said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. What's that mean? Fetch. Fetch. Go get it. Now, who did David send to fetch this fellow? Yeah? Some little effeminate fella, some little, fella, nice, who, like Agag, came delicately. Is David like that? Is David like that? Did David take what he wanted? Did David do as he pleased? Was David powerful? Huh? Was David able? Yes, he was. Our God is able. Okay. I believe David, read on in 2 Samuel about David's captains. His mighty man. Just start reading. Man, they were powerful men. I think he sent two of his most trusted servants, two of his warriors, two of his captains, two of his men bold, two sons of thunder. You know, that's who Jesus Christ sent. You think of James and John as two little weak fellas? Our Lord said that of John the Baptist. Who'd you go to see? A prophet? Huh? I tell you, more than a prophet. Even Herod feared John. Anyway, David sent two of his most powerful and trusted men. He said, mercy, truth, righteousness, peace. Go down and arrest that man. Go down and lay hold of that man. Don't ask him. Pick him up and bring him to me. I am going to show kindness. So they went down to that house. They didn't knock on the door. They didn't stand outside the door hoping that Mephibosheth would let them in. No, sir. They broke that door down. And I just believe that Mephibosheth, that's his name. His name means something. If I have time, I'll tell you. But I believe Mephibosheth shaking. When they came and they broke that door down, and Mephibosheth said, Mephibosheth, is that you? Yes, it is. So you're coming with us. And they went over and got a hold of him. Don't you see this? They went over and picked him up. And one of them put him in his arms, and they walked out of that door with him. They didn't ask him anything. What do you think's happening with Mephibosheth? This is the beginning of him. When he finally comes to see and hear the king's voice, he's broken. He may have been an enemy before. He's being broken. He's being shown that the king is not in your hands. You're in his. To do with as he will. Okay. Now he didn't ask him. He fetched him. And brothers and sisters, that's how God saves every sinner he purposed to save. You know that? He fetches. He fetches. Where was it? Said he found him in a place called, in a house of a man named Maker. That means a seller. A man who sells things. And the son of Amiel, that means people of God, in Lodibar, which is a house of no bread. So he's in a place where there's no bread. He's supposed to be among the people of God, but they're not. They're enemies. And he said, this man that sells things. And that's all of us. We've sold ourselves to sin, sold to the devil, and all that. Supposed to be the people of God. We're not. A sheep without shepherd. Place of no pasture. And the Lord sent and fetched us. David sent and brought him. Now verse 6, here it is. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. How'd he come? How'd he get here? Huh? David fetched him. David brought him. Or he wouldn't have come. He couldn't come, he wouldn't have come, okay? He wasn't asked, he was fetched. John and I love Psalm 71. He says, thou hast given commandment to save me. You're my Lord, you're my salvation, because you've given commandment to save me. If he hadn't, I wouldn't have come. I wouldn't be here. If the Lord hadn't revealed himself to me, I'd be an Arminian preacher like everybody else right now. I'd be standing up here telling you, what are you going to do with Jesus? You know that? If the Lord hadn't chosen me to reveal the truth to me, I'd be up here, now won't you accept Jesus? So he came because David fetched him. And we come because the Father gave us to Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes through the preaching of the gospel and sovereignly and powerfully fetches us and brings us and lays hold of us and arrests us and brings us to Christ. And the first thing is, we fear him. Look at verse 6. When Mephibosheth came, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. He fell on his face. We sure labor that point a lot, don't we? Fear the Lord. Because David said, the transgression of the wicked What all I see going on today tells me, says within my heart, there's no fear of God. But this is a thing that all of God's people have and characterizes all of God's people. They fear the Lord. And we'll never quit fearing the Lord until we be with Him in glory, until we're just like Him. All right? So he fell on his face and did reverence. Now he doesn't know what David's going to do for him. He doesn't know. He doesn't know if David's going to kill him or make him alive. Does David have that right? Does David have that right? Does David have the power? Is anything up to Mephibosheth at this point? Did David ask Mephibosheth anything in the whole course of this? No. And he doesn't know what he's going to do. But he just knows that his hands, his life is in this king's hands. His life, his breath is in the king's hand. And he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. I believe he was expecting him to speak in anger and wrath. Said you, and to cast him out as one of the Saul's sons. But he heard a voice that he heard kindness in David's voice. He heard mercy in David's voice. He heard love in David's voice. He heard salvation in David's voice. Like Mary, when Mary came to that tomb, you know, and our Lord said once, Mary. I believe he has his head hanging. I believe he's down. He is. He's on his face. And when David said, Mephibosheth, I think he looked up. Like our Lord, when the Lord had that woman caught in the act of adultery and stooped down. I know she had her head hanging in shame, in fear. She doesn't know what he's going to do. And he said, Woman. Mephibosheth, he heard the kindest, sweetest, most tender voice he'd ever heard. When this world hears the voice of God, they're going to hear it like they've never heard before. When God's people hear it, we're going to hear it like we've never heard before. Enter, thou blessed Father, into the kingdom that I prepared for you before the foundation of the world. I love you. Mephibosheth. And he looked up. Behold, thy servant. I'm yours. And David said, fear not. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. I will. Mephibosheth, fear not. I will. I have purposed. I have chosen you. I will have mercy upon you. I will be kind to you. I have set my love and affection on you for Jonathan's sake. And this is what we find out in the Father, if God loves us, it's for Christ's sake. We find out it's all for Christ's sake. All through the Scripture it says that, doesn't it? Ezekiel 36, the Lord said over and over again, I'm not doing this for your sake. You profane my name. You sinned against me. You brought shame upon me. I'm doing this for my sake. I'm doing this for my name's sake. He said, you're going to loathe yourself. Everything you think about that you did, you're going to be ashamed of yourself. But you're going to rejoice and you're going to glory in my grace that I do for Christ's sake. In the fullness of time, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us for Christ's sake. He said. And furthermore, so he's saying to Mephibosheth, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to show you kindness, mercy. I'm going to spare you. mercy for Jonathan's sake, for Christ's sake. And I will restore all the land of Saul thy father. I'm going to restore everything you've lost. You know, because of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, our covenant head, everything we lost in Adam. Adam lost fellowship with God. He lost communion with God. God kicked him out of his presence. He lost the favor of God. He lost the understanding of God, the life of God, the holiness of God. And Jesus Christ came to restore all of that for God's people. Fellowship with God. Truly, our fellowship with the Father. Why? For Christ's sake. He said, if I go to my Father and your Father. Communion with God. He said, the Father heareth you. You pray through me. Favor with God. Life of God. Holiness. Because Christ, as he is, so are we. That's not all. Look at verse 7. He said to Mephibosheth, and, as if that's not enough, he saved his life. He's restoring everything he lost. He said, thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He says, you're going to sit right beside me from now on, like one of my sons. And then what did Mephibosheth do? Verse 8, he bowed himself. And he said, and this is what all of God's people say to Christ, and shall say, what is thy servant? That thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. A dead dog. A dead dog? You shouldn't say that about yourself. How many in here would stop on the side of the road and pick up a dead dog that's been run over by a car several times? How many? It'd been there for days, stinking, rotten, maggots. Can I make this picture clear enough here? How many of you would stop your car and get out and pick that dead dog up and take it home with you and put it up to the table with you? Come on now. I tell you who would. Bonnie, if it was Zoe, if it was Jake, if it was Bodie, if it was Dempsey, and he lying there dead, would you do it? If he's stinking dead, would you do it? Take him home with you? Yes, you would, wouldn't you? And brothers and sisters, we can't say it clearly enough. We can't say man's state clearly enough. And such were some of you. Stinking. Oh, you shouldn't say that, preacher. God said it. He said their righteousness are like menstruous cloth to me. How vile can you get? Who keeps those? But God. You see, this world is not full of nice people God needs. This world's full of awful people that need God. And Brother Patrick, he's going to destroy the whole lot. He doesn't need it. But God fetches. What are they like? Dead dogs. If Chip was on the side of the road, would you stop? Margaret Mack is right beside Mephibosheth right now looking at his Savior who picked up that dead dog. He's sitting at the table with him right now. What's he doing? Singing his praises, who loved him and washed him from his sin in his own blood, who found him, who chose him, who fetched him, who brought him, or he wouldn't have come. He set his love on him. Sovereign love. Can I say it loud enough? Open the windows. This is it. This is salvation. This ain't some old-fashioned Old Testament story. This is the salvation of every dead dog sinner God chose before the foundation of the world. Didn't need one of them. They're dead dogs. Old Brother Maurice Montgomery used to say, that was his saying. I'm just a dead dog sinner. You can't get any more graphic than that, can you? See, God looks on the heart. All these people in their facades of religion, all they're dressed up in this, in their phylacteries and all that, God sees through it. Man can't. Man's impressed. God angry. Boy. Old Mephibosheth knew he ought to kill me right now, but he showed mercy on me. Why? Why did he show mercy? Ask Mephibosheth, why are you spared? Why are you sitting at this table today? For the rest of his life, he sat there at that table. Ask him why. He'd tell you, it's for my father Jonathan's sake. If it wasn't for Jonathan, I wouldn't be here. Every one of God's people in heaven, if it wasn't for Christ, I wouldn't be here. Can't say that loud enough, clear enough. And you know then David, not only that, David and the rest of the story says that David gave orders to Ziba, who was a wicked man. Ziba, who pretended later to be a pious man, who lied on Mephibosheth. He gave orders to Ziba and all of Ziba's servants to wait on Mephibosheth the rest of his days. He said, every one of you are going to serve Mephibosheth. You're going to serve him his food. You're going to bring him everything. You know, the whole world exists. Man, if I could shout right now, the whole world. God's Christ, he said, I gave Ethiopia for you, Egypt for you, for your ransom. He said he raised up Pharaoh and all of Egypt for his people. Who were his people? Dead dog sinners. The whole world exists. And you tell the world that. They'll hate you for it. But so. And they did. Ziba and the rest of them. And so, verse 13 it ends. Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. There he is. In Jerusalem. And he ate continually at the king's table, just like the king said. You look, and that's where you'll find him. And look at there. He's lame on both his feet. But those feet are under the table. Under the table. And if he needs to go somewhere, I believe David himself will pick him up and carry him. You know, he's carried us all our days. From the cradle to your hoary head, he said, I'll carry you. And I got to bring this up. I've got a few more minutes. That's not the end of the story. You know that Mephibosheth, he's young here, or he's early, in his early 30s probably. He got married. And he had children. And they're told of in other places in Scripture. All right? Well, something happened. David went. Remember, because Absalom went in exile and had lots of enemies. All right, now David's coming back after all of that. After Absalom, that's another story. Absalom was killed and hung in a tree, and David's coming back to Jerusalem. And Ziba, that waited on Mephibosheth, he resented that. He resented Mephibosheth. And Ziba came to meet David when he's coming back to Jerusalem. And David said, where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said, I heard Mephibosheth say that now I'm going to be king. Now David's gone, I'm going to be king. And David said, well, you take everything that belonged to Mephibosheth. You take it all. Yeah. Ziba lied on Mephibosheth. And you go back, keep going, and all right, now David comes into town, and here comes Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth said, David said, why weren't you there to meet me, David, Mephibosheth? And Mephibosheth said, Ziba lied on me. He slandered me. He said he was going to saddle me a horse and put me on. I'm lame. He said he's going to saddle me a horse and put me on it and bring me to you. But he lied on me. He left without me. Okay? All right, two men saying different things, right?
And our Lord, when you come to Christ, when you the Lord brings you to Himself, your troubles aren't over. Our Lord said, you're going to have tribulation in this world. Because God chose you, because God had mercy upon you, because God made you His elect. And the world's going to resent you, and the Lord's going to hate you like Ziba did Mephibosheth. Okay? And they're going to slander you, and they're going to lie on you and tell things about you that aren't so. And He said, blessed are you when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Does the Lord know who are His? Yes, He does. I'll tell you how He knows. All right, you got two men saying two different things. And Ziba brought all these gifts and all these presents. And Ziba said, oh, I do obeisance to thee, my king. Thou art my king. Thou art my king. Okay. And then here comes Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth hadn't shaved, hadn't washed, hadn't trimmed his beard, hadn't done anything like that. He's humbled himself since the day that David was gone. When David left, Mephibosheth fasted and was dirty, and he came to King David like he came to begin with. He came back to David just like David found him in the first place. A dead dog. Are you with me? All right, David said, two men saying two different things. He said, both of you divide it all up. I don't care. Take it all. Take it. Both of you divide it up. Ziba said, that sounds good to me. Stuff. Mephibosheth said, let him have it all. I want you. My king has come, and you're the one I've been waiting on. Let him have all that stuff. You're here now. And you're the one I've been waiting on. Now you want to tell me who loves David? You want to tell me who David saved? You want to tell me who the true Son of God is? Who the true child of God is? Who the true Christian is? It's the one that's waiting on Jesus Christ to come. The one who saved them. The one that saved that dead dog sinner. And we go to Him today like we did when He found us. And we say, take all this stuff. They can have it. Let the world have it. And all I want is you. That's how you know. Okay. Let's sing a closing hymn.